Well, welcome to Airplane Inshallah. This episode is about that magic carpet. Life is short enough. Why waste time? If you can afford it, you have a prosperous company, or you just have some extra cash, why not buy that magic carpet? And we're the people that could help you. No, we're not brokers. We're not dealers. We're experts. So stay tuned for this podcast. It's all about buying your personal jet or company jet.
Welcome to the Airplane Intel Podcast, the show for aircraft owners, pilots, and mechanics. It's our goal to save you money and make your flying safer so you can get the most out of your airplane. Featuring the pre-buy guys with over 60 years combined experience flying, maintaining, and managing all types of aircraft. We will share practical advice, strategies, and tips to help make aircraft ownership simple, safe, and cost-effective. So stay tuned.
So, what's this buying and owning a jet all about? How much does it cost? How do you go about buying one? How do you find one? Who's going to crew the airplane if you're not a pilot? Look, hey, you've been successful. You could afford a jet airplane. That magic carpet that's going to save you time. Yep, bring you closer to your family and friends and get you to those business appointments with your associates. And get you back the same day. That's what it's all about. No more going to the airport 2 hours ahead of time, going through TSA, changing planes, renting a car. Yeah, these private jets, man, they can get into so many more airports than an airliner does. Chances are you're going to be within 5 or 10, or maybe right at the place you're going to do your business, or the place you're just going to. So what we do is we help you. Yep, we help you get into an endeavor that you might have never been in before. Whether you're a corporate pilot flying a piston or turbine and your company would like the reliability of a jet airplane, icing is no problem because, man, you don't have propellers out there anymore. Right. And it's versatile. It carries a larger load than most of the airplanes you've been flying. And you got to advise, you know, your company, hey, this program's for you too. Yeah. So where do you all start? Well, first you start just by giving us a call and we'll chat with you and figure out your mission profile and how much money you're willing to spend and various facts, where you're going to go and how long the runways are and where you're based. After we get it all figured out, and we could help you pick out an airplane, but you could pick out one. You might have one in mind already. We'll talk a little bit about that airplane. And then we're going to get serious, because then we're going to get the FAA files on that airplane. And then we're going to find out who owned the airplane in the past and where was it based. Was it based in a corrosive environment? Man, we have pre-buys. We found $250,000 worth of damage because of corrosion. So we want to make sure of that. And then the other part of the file is the airworthiness file. Does it have any major repairs? Yeah, that could drastically reduce the price of an airplane. What about modifications? Well, those are good things. So let's see what kind of modifications it has on it. Let's put a value on those. And also, are those modifications legally on there? Yeah, it's all the paperwork available to support the modifications. Because the airplane, when it gets inspected, the inspector has to make sure that those modifications are legal to be on that airplane. So we would do all that in the beginning. And then you could talk to the broker, dealer, airplane owner who's selling that jet airplane. And you have a lot of information now, and you could kind of talk about the price and the conditions. And so what is a pre-buy on a jet airplane? Well, it's whatever you make it. A lot of people go to a big company maybe the manufacturer company of the airplane to get a pre-buy, and they spend tens of thousands of dollars to find out, maybe they shouldn't buy this airplane. We do things a little different. Yeah, we'd like to buddy up with you, and if you're going to go on a demo flight on that airplane, we'd like to meet you, and we'd like to go with you, and we want to make this a flight test. Because a lot of these airplanes operate at thousands of dollars an hour. And in some cases, you're paying the whole rate. In other cases, maybe you're just paying for the fuel. But even that's a lot of money. So we want to bring you and your crowd with you, whoever you're going to fly with. And we'd like to do this flight test and try to qualify the airplane. Make sure there's no major defects in the operation, in the avionics, in the engine performance of this airplane. And we want to make sure right away before you spend all that money. And then we're going to continue to the next phase. And we're going to go through the records of the airplane, looking for surprises, make sure all the inspections and directives are up to date. And all these things could cost a lot of money. And then it depends on the use of your airplane. If you're going to lease it back, we need to kind of get together with you about the requirements of the lease back and the maintenance and the maintenance standards and the utilization by the leaser. And there's a lot of things we could talk about. Okay, now we're kind of ready for the rest of the endeavor. We're going to do a preliminary pre-purchase inspection. What is a pre-purchase inspection? It's whatever you make it. It's not stated anyplace in the Federal Air Regulations. It's not a required inspection. So we don't have to go by the rules of a required inspection, which is basically to find wear and stuff. You know, take off the wheels and look at the wheel bearings and, hey, you know, we want to find the expensive items. Yeah, we want to, right off the bat, we want to try to qualify this airplane without you spending thousands of dollars and then getting a report at the end of it when, in some cases, geez, it's not worth buying. And so that's what we do. We help you make a decision to buy the airplane. We notice the things wrong with the airplane and the good parts about it. And you've been researching the market in a lot of cases. If not, we'll do it for you. And there's always another airplane out there that competes with it. So we need to have that in our back pocket. And we need to think about that other airplane, because that's going to help in a negotiation for the price of your jet airplane. Now, what if you're not a pilot, or what if you're not rated to fly a jet airplane? No problem. We could suggest pilots for you. And in a lot of jet airplanes, like the one we're going to talk about a little later in this program, the Hawker 800 series, you need two pilots. Yeah, two pilot airplane, if that's the case, no problem. We'll get you hooked up with a good person, and maybe they can even work in the company for you, or you could just hire them part-time, and we'll find a good co-pilot for you. And a lot of times, these co-pilots will go along just for the ride to build time, because they're working on their advanced ratings and they want to move into the left seat of that airplane. Yeah, so we'll figure all that out for you and do it the most cost-efficient way. So there is a lot of steps involved here before you buy this airplane. And the pre-purchase inspection can go many different ways. So that's why we start off with a flight test. Yeah, we try to do that right away. Well, you know, after we review the files, as I mentioned. So I'll give you some examples. You know, everything seemed okay. And we go out to a single pilot Cessna Citation, and we kind of give the flight crew or the pilot in command a mission profile briefing. Yeah. You know, most of these fellows, they want to operate the airplane as efficiently as possible, so they have different techniques that they use. But we're interested in getting up to altitude, yeah, as quick as we can, and getting back down on the ground. because somebody is paying for the expense of the airplane. And we want to be up in the cold, thin air, and we're going to see then if those jet engines are carrying us through the air the way they're supposed to. Oh, you're lacking power. If we're using too much fuel for the power settings, that's a bad sign. Yeah, we don't mind not have a healthy engine. It's just vibration. And what about the creature comforts? Way up there at altitude, it's like really cold. And the airplane is pressurized. And that means that in some cases, there's an automobile pushing against that little window. We want to make sure there's no pressure leaks in the airplane. Yeah, I remember a citation once. I heard a little whistling sound. I caught it on my stereo camera. Yeah, we're taking pictures, doing videos, and we got to prove to the seller that this airplane has a defect, if it has one. So here I hear a little whistling sound in the back of the airplane, and I tell the buyer, we got a problem here. I think we have a pressure leak in the pressure vessel. And that's bad because there might be a crack at a place that might cause a safety of flight issue. Not only that, but we're losing cabin pressure. And guess where it comes from? Those engines. So that means you're using more fuel to get the same speed you want to fly at. So anyway, we get back on the ground. And the owner decides, well, if you guys want to pay for the rest of the investigation, we got to take out the auxiliary power unit and get deep into this airplane to see what kind of noise you think you heard coming from that rear area of the airplane. And the buyer said, yep, let's do it. And they pay for it if there's a defect. We pay for it if there's none. Okay, I said to the buyer, as long as you're willing to pay for that, if yeah, I'm pretty sure there's something wrong back there. So many hours later, what do we find? A little crack in the pressure bulkhead. Serious problem. Wow. Okay, so save that guy. Okay, I've had a lot of good experiences too. And yeah, this last Hawker I did, man, that company was easy to deal with. The salesman knew the airplane very well, could answer all the questions. And I was right at the maintenance facility who was maintaining it. And that makes life a lot easier. And, boy, I had, you know, celebrity airplanes that, Darryl Waltrip's Citation Ultra. Yeah, Cessna was reselling the airplane right with me. And, boy, that was great because whatever I came up with, I could give it to that person from Cessna who has access to everything in Cessna, and he could come up with a yay or a nay, and he could show me if it really isn't a defect and it's acceptable, or the seller's got to fix it. And in this case, the seller had to fix it, and that was like over $10,000 for one item. Yeah. And so anyway, the seller didn't fix it. Cessna fixed it for free. So that was a win-win. Okay, and what other kind of airplanes we got? Hey, how about a Boeing? Wow, I mean, we're talking with high rollers here. Yeah, a casino out in Las Vegas. They already bought an airplane because they took their pilot's advice, and they've had a jet airplane, an old Boeing 707, I believe it was, in the past. Here they bought a little more modern Boeing, and they had a beautiful paint job and engine silencers on it, and it was a 727. Yeah, and this was back before 9/11, and back before the year 2000. And anyway, they called me in to, they weren't quite sure about what was going on, and I got down there to the airplane, and there was people all over the place and parts all over the place, and they had all kinds of modifications and engineers making new modifications. And here I see, three low-time overhauled engines, and I see a beautiful paint job, I see thrust reversers, I see the whole headliner down with wires every place. I said, what are you doing? I said, well, we're making this headliner imitate Caesar's Palace small. You know how the stars move around and the sun comes up, and Holy mackerel. Okay, you know, this is like, you know, 20 years ago. So, you know, not quite 20 years ago, but these things weren't common. You know, big screen TVs and bedrooms in the airplane and all kinds of stuff. So I go looking into this massive index, and they have an expert there from a retired Boeing person looking into the records. And then I started realizing, gosh, where did this airplane come from? Has this airplane ever been in Europe? Then I find out, no, it hasn't been. Well, the pilot said, well, we got silencers on there. We meet the noise requirements. Whoops, something a little different here. In the year 2000, which is only a few months away, you can't land with silencers to avoid the noise requirements unless the airplane is already grandfathered into those airports. What? Stop what you're doing. Put the plane back together. Get a crew. Go to Europe. Land at every airport. Get qualified to go in there to pick up the high rollers. Yeah, I mean, they are high rollers that send a Boeing jet to pick them up and bring them back to Las Vegas. Yeah. So, all well that ends well. And that's one little story. So, what's your story? Every story is different. Whether you're going to buy a light jet or a mid-sized jet, or how about a Gulfstream? Yeah, I've been involved in a bunch of them. And a lot of times, after we qualify the airplane, we will give it to a large facility to do some upcoming inspections or to do some special inspections to help me find other defects. So they will take the airplane apart and sign off the upcoming inspections, and I will go back and visit the airplane when it's all apart and do my own inspection. And then they can put it all back together, and you have many months and happy hours of flying without doing any more maintenance on this airplane. So that's what it's all about. So let's talk a little bit about owning a jet airplane. Yeah. Okay. So, basically, it becomes a tax write-off right in the beginning. If you need a big tax write-off for 2018, you can get it. You could depreciate the entire value of the airplane. Wow. And lots of expenses that you paid operating the airplane if you use it entirely for business. The maintenance program is pretty strict on these airplanes. It's a federal law. You have to comply with it. And so, we're gonna see what the maintenance program looks like and what's coming up. Yeah, I mean, you want to jump in this plane and fly for at least 6 months without having to do any, big maintenance items. Hopefully more longer than that. So we might decide it's cost effective to do a future inspection that might be coming up in 3 or 4 months from now. Do it a little prematurely, and this will ensure your operation past that point. And so we're going to do that, and when the plane's apart, we have a good opportunity to look at things that isn't on the inspection checklist. Yeah, we're going to kind of be evaluating the airplane all along, so you're going to be a happy person. Now, what do you do at your home base? Well, there's little inspections that come up every 30 days or so, and the local mechanic at your home base could handle those, like, checking the fire extinguisher bottles inside the airplane. It's a requirement. It's not a big deal, but it has to be done to keep the plane airworthy. So, yeah, the larger inspections, you might even, in some cases, people hire a full-time mechanic depending on the complexities of the airplane they buy. Oh, what's the cost of the airplanes you buy? Well, I was telling you a little bit about that, but some of these very capable 2,300 mile Hawkers with full tanks and full people, every seat occupied, some of those airplanes are going for a little over $2 million. And boy, that's a lot of airplane. You can cross the pond. Yeah, you can go. And if you get that tailwind, coming back the other way from west to east, man, you could cross the continent. And wow, that's a lot of airplane. I mean, that was like a $10, $15 million airplane. not a decade or so ago. Yeah, so those airplanes, require maintenance, just the same kind of maintenance as a $300,000 airplane, but it requires a lot of time, a bigger shop to do it. So after you put in 400, 800 hours on the airplane, then you're going to have to put it down for a week or two and get all these big inspections done. So that's kind of how it works with jet ownership. So let's talk about your needs for a jet airplane. Well, what do you need a jet airplane for? What about one of those with propellers on it, like a King Air or a 421 Cessna or something like that? Well, a jet airplane doesn't have propellers, and that's the reason you probably need one, because a jet airplane is more capable of flying through the weather. Yeah, even though it's summertime, if you want to get up there in the smooth air and get there fast, a lot of times you got to fly through these clouds and pick up icing conditions. And a jet airplane, it's a factor you figure in, but it's not a real threat. When you have propellers on an airplane, if they pick up ice, they're supposed to shut them off with electrical boots on the propellers, get rid of the ice. Yeah, but it does. There's a whole bunch of electrical boots on each blade of the propeller. And if that fails and ice builds up on one blade, you have a serious problem. You have a vibration problem, which is going to lead to other problems. Maybe even having to shut down the engine and glide back to Earth because of the vibration. So a jet airplane is quiet. Yeah, you can get in that airplane and it's just like being in your office with a little bit of office machine running in the background. And they're very dependable because they have a really strict maintenance schedule to follow. And you're required by law, to follow these maintenance schedules. And that keeps the airplane very dependable. Besides, it's the image too. Man, you got a jet airplane, you've probably made it in business or as an individual. So where do you start off at? Well, let's go from low to high. You could buy an older Citation jet, and it could be flown by one pilot for as little as $300,000. Yeah. But it's not worth investing a lot of money in, because it's not going to ever probably be worth more than $300,000. So the object is to get one where you could fly it a few thousand hours and then possibly salvage it. Yes, possibly. And unless technology comes around and maybe they have a way of improving this airplane to such an extent, it'll be worth spending a couple million dollars to buy it again. Then that's possible. So that's the bottom line. So if you get the right airplane, and we help you do that, and you need a pilot, no problem, we'll find you a good one. These pilots are smart people. I mean, they've invested a lot of money becoming capable of doing what they do. Yeah, they might need a little special training in the beginning on this make and model airplane, but they're good people to have in your company. If you could utilize them in your company and take care of your airplane for you and fly it. And so you want two pilots. Well, some jet airplanes have to have two pilots. But basically, even in a single pilot airplane, there's always some competent people in your company, and that could sit in the right seat and learn the airplane. Yeah, a lot of these young kids here on these flight simulator programs, holy mackerel, they are good. If they're current on that simulator program for that airplane, and they just about make one for every make and model jet out there, they could push the right buttons to get that airplane right down to a landing. Yeah. So as a charter pilot, I used to always put people in the right seat and sometimes in the left seat because I was an instructor also, and let them actually land the airplane. And what confidence. You always got somebody on board who can handle the airplane. So the next step up is, let's talk about hawkers. We're talking about hawkers. The next step up is like the hawker Beast Jet Hawker. Now, that's a two-powered airplane, but it's a lot faster than the Citations, and it has a little bit more range, depending on how you do it. Now, these Hawkers, you know, you could buy one for like five or six hundred thousand, or you could buy one for a couple million dollars. Yeah, because they converted them to a modern airplane. You know, when they first came out, they were always a little bit better than the Citation 500 series. But they converted them to, right now, Nextel has converted it with the Rolls-Royce Williams engine in it and modern avionics, new paint job, and man, you're good to go. And you got like a $2 million airplane. Yeah. So it's fuel efficient, but it requires two pilots. But that's not a big problem because, you know, you're going to have one pilot that's very qualified. He's the pilot in command. And the second co-pilot, he has to, depending on the insurance requirements, he could just be a multi-engine pilot with an instrument rating. And he can make his takeoff and landings and prove how good he is at doing that. And he might qualify as your second pilot. Yeah, and there's a lot of people out there that could work part-time as a second pilot also. And actually, there's contract crews out there. So if you're only going to use it once a month or so, you know, maybe it'd be easier just to hire a contract crew to fly the airplane for you. But the airplane's at your disposal. And you could go on your mission and go any place you want to go and stay as long as you want and return when you want to return without the hassle of traveling on the airlines. Yep. So now we're going to step up into the bigger Hawkers. Yeah, let's say the Hawker 800 and the XP models on the 850 and XP. And we got a good video of the latest version, the 900 Hawker XP, and it kind of explained it to you. So check our show notes.
It's time for the tip of the week.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast so far. I want to talk a little bit about pilot comfort. What? Yeah, pilots got to be comfortable up in the cockpit. Now, I've heard, you know, stories from pilots that flew both airplanes, the Hawker 800 series and 900 series, and some of the new high-tech airplanes like the Bombardiers. And, you know, they tell me that they like it in the cockpit better in the Hawker. Now, why? Well, some of the complaints I heard was, first of all, the armrest. What? The pilot's armrest and co-pilot's armrest is kind of narrow. I believe it's on the 300. Yeah, and they can't get comfortable with their arm. It kind of presses into their elbow. They can't fit comfortably there. And then it's the cockpit environment system. It seems like the air blows out of the bottom behind the pilot and co-pilot seat and up near your neck, and you get a draft until the airplane, you know, gets to that stable temperature, whether it's warm air or cold air, and that might take as long as 20 minutes and kind of uncomfortable. And I guess you don't have an armrest. Yeah, the armrest for the pilot, that's kind of neat. Yeah, so those are some things I heard. Oh, what else? Oh, the push-to-talk switch, the PPT. Yeah, and, you know, they have it on the control yoke. But the Hawker also had a place on the instrument panel. It was easy to reach to push it. And so, you know, you're flying hands-off most of the time. Your autopilot's on. So you don't want to go touching the yoke, I guess, if you don't need to. So the pilots liked it up there on the instrument panel to push it. And then, I don't know about this, but I heard some complaints about the grab rail, you know, to get yourself wiggled into the cockpit. And it seems like the Hawker grab rail is in just the right spot to do that. And what else? Oh, yeah, the seat. Well, you know, if you're a 5'9 or less, I guess everything's fine. But if you're a 6'2 or so, what happens in the seat is you're kind of uncomfortable. If you lay back the seat, you got to push the seat forward, and then your legs aren't stretched out right. And you can push the rudder pedals back some, but not far enough to make your legs feel really comfortable. And so, I don't know, the pilots tell me that, you know, there's a few more inches left there in back of the rudder pedals, but I don't know what the purpose of designing it that way for is. Of course, the most important thing is the passenger comfort, and that's why, especially charter office, that's why they buy the airplane. And the passengers don't have any complaints. No, everything's fine back there. But it's just the pilots are kind of uncomfortable, and that's not good. You want them to be relaxed and thinking and ready for the challenge ahead in bad weather. Yeah. So if anybody has any feedback and are familiar with both models, the new technology airplanes and the reliable Hawker. Oh, yeah, by the way, not only reliable, but strong. Yeah, that Russian event that happened. Oh, my goodness. A Hawker 800 misadjusted the altimeter, and it was off almost 2,700 feet or something like that. And they were descending, and they got all the warnings, didn't pay any attention to the terrain clearance warnings, and they flew into the trees. Yeah, they ripped off a winglet, and they damaged the leading edges, and they damaged the inlet of an engine, and they gave full power, and yeah, no problem. The plane just took all that punishment and went back up in the air and made a safe landing. I wonder if that would happen in some of these newer airplanes. I just don't know, but everybody knows the Hawker is overbuilt. Yeah, it's built strong. So that those passengers and those pilots, that was a lifesaver for them. So any feedback, send it in. We'd like to talk about cockpit comfort features, creature features in a cockpit. Yeah. Yeah, I heard like people have trouble with cup holders in some airplanes, and people have trouble with the little notepad and write down things. It's too small, and the clip and everything, and it falls off. And oh, I don't know. So if you had any experience in the new technology type airplanes that just came out, let us know.
Thanks for listening to the Airplane Intel podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope that you'll subscribe to the show and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter by searching Pre-Buy Guys. To access show notes, archives, and other free resources, head on over to AirplaneIntelPodcast.com. To get answers to your questions, drop us a line on social media or send an email to feedback@AirplaneIntelPodcast.com. You can also reach us by phone at 904-290-3870. And remember, owning an airplane doesn't have to be hazardous to your wealth.